Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and I'd like for us to read verses 18 through 20 together, okay? Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Let's read this out loud and together. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Everyone say, "Follow Jesus." So Jesus said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I'll make you. The last 6 weeks or so, we've been talking about how the Lord has really called each and every one of you into the ministry. You know, he's been convincing us that every single one of us that has received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's who you are. Not that you're adequate in and of yourselves, right, to do anything of yourselves, but God made you an adequate minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord, by his Spirit and by his Word, has been convincing each and every one of you to see yourself as a minister. That's who you are. God made you a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, "We've all been called." Yeah, so when Jesus walked up on these two brothers, Peter and Andrew, who were fishermen by trade, Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He didn't say, "Take a 27-week course in evangelism." He didn't say, "I want you to go to a seminar on how to win souls." He didn't say, "Listen, I want you to read this manual on how to heal the sick." Jesus simply said, "Follow me. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." And this is what the Lord is saying to us today. He's beckoning us to follow him. All right, you are all ministers. So Jesus is saying to us today, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all you really need to know to do is to follow him. Follow him more closely, amen? And so listen, following Jesus, man, it frees me from having to pretend to be something I'm not. You know, when we talk about being in the ministry or you're ministers, you know, sometimes we put so much expectation on ourselves. Like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm not qualified. I'm not educated. You know, I'm not young enough. I'm too old. There's so many things that would come. But listen, simply following Jesus, it frees us from having to pretend to be some spiritual prophet, you know, or some miracle worker or this great public speaker. It frees us from all that stuff. You know, so as I simply follow Jesus and I walk more closely with him, man, I am just, I'm moved with great assurance and great confidence whenever I point people to him. And this is what the Lord's talking to us about. Everyone say, ministry flows out of relationship. Listen, the most authentic, personal, and impactful ministry is a ministry that comes from an overflow of time well spent with Jesus. Amen? And so we've been on this series where the Lord said, man, you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week, the Lord talked to you that you are anointed of the Spirit of God. Amen. Listen, if you miss any of these teachings, you can go back to our podcast and check these out. But listen, you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And sometimes we think that, man, what does this mean? How does this work? And the Lord's saying the most impactful ministry comes from a place of overflow by simply following and being with Jesus. Amen? Listen, anything I want to know about life, anything I want to know about how to treat people, anything I want to know about how to navigate through various storms. How many have been through some storms before? Anything I want to know about how to handle various situations that are unplanned that come our way. Anything I want to know about how to receive and give blessing, I learned from following Jesus. Amen. So when we're talking about you being ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus saying, you know what, really, this is what he did with the fishermen. He just said, follow me. Listen, just follow me. And this is what the Lord is saying. Do you know this, that Jesus Christ is God's final word to man? I want to say that again. Jesus Christ is God's final word to man. Yes. Let me show you this in Hebrews chapter 1 real quick, verses 1 through 3. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Jesus Christ is God's final word to man. So, you know, God was speaking to people through his prophets. All right, then it says in verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He's the exact representation of the Father's being. God, Jesus Christ is God's final word to man. God sent Jesus to show us what his heart looks like. Yeah, that's why Jesus said, when you see me, you see my Father. Jesus told his disciples that I don't speak anything unless my Father tells me to speak it. So listen, anything you want to know about the heart of God is found in what Jesus did, what Jesus said, and what Jesus taught. Yes. Amen? And so Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. This is what the Lord is saying. If you simply hang out with me, just simply hang out with me, just stay close with me, and you'll naturally become more like me. Takes all the pressure off, right? If you just simply hang out with me, stay close to me, you'll begin to see things like I see them. You'll look at people differently. You'll be able to see them as I see them. You'll begin to love them as I love them. And so Jesus is saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that's what we need to be, amen? Amen. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So I thought, since we're all ministers, right? We all are. Doesn't matter what your occupation is, right? Amen. Come on, are you? Yes. You're a minister. Minister really means servant. So you're a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've opened up your heart and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now a servant to spread that news. Yes. To share the good news of Jesus. And this is what we need, church. This is what the world needs, amen? Yes. So you're a minister, you're a servant. As inadequate as you think you are, the Lord has made you an adequate minister, right? 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6, an adequate minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I thought, since we're all ministers, man, I thought, why don't we just, you know, kind of follow Jesus around a little bit? Does that sound good? Yes. If he's saying, follow me, why don't we just as ministers say, listen, let's just follow Jesus around a little bit, and let's observe and see, how did he do it? Yes. How did he minister? Does that sound good? And so that's what we're going to do, all right? Jesus' ministry consisted of these things: teaching, preaching, making disciples, healing the sick, and casting out demons. That's really what his ministry consisted of. And so I thought, if we just follow him around and glean from him, I mean, he is the minister, right? And we're carrying his message. We just want to see how he did it. Listen, this is not complicated. This is not complicated. We just got to see how he did it. And I think, I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you remember, you know, Pastor Paul and Debbie Allen, right? You know, he's preaching in Indiana for the month of July, but he, you know, he always lets me know when he's going to be out. By the way, thank you for those of you who do that. I mean, it just shows respect. Hey, we're going to be out next Sunday. We love you. We're supporting you. It just shows respect. And so Pastor Paul does this, but he said this: I'm going to be out for the month of July and preaching in Indiana, and not Michigan City, but another part of Indiana. And this is what he said: preach Jesus. Yeah. And I'm going, absolutely, absolutely. I got to tell you, on May 28th, my wife and I were on vacation. I'll bring this word to you at some point in time. But man, I was in this mindset where I felt like I had to do more. It was an unhealthy mindset. You know, that's why the break was necessary. You got to do more. You got to do more. So I was being driven instead of led. And so there were some things that were going on inside of me. And man, I opened up my Bible on that morning, and the Lord gave me a scripture. I'll share it with you later. But this is what it said. It said, pray for us that the word of God may run swiftly. And that the word of God would be glorified. And the Lord told me in that moment, that's your assignment. Preach the word. It's the word of God that we want to run swiftly. I don't need to run swiftly. So the Lord is saying, I know you think you need to do more. Just preach the word and we'll pray the word of God will run swiftly because that's where things get changed. Amen. And so listen, you carry that word in you. And so the Lord said, just stay in your lane. You don't have to chase people down. Just stay in your lane and preach the word. And I got to tell you, I felt like this huge burden lifted off of me at that moment. And the Lord says, if you're, oh, I'm going to preach the word right now. And I'm not, but the Lord was speaking to me in that moment, you know, and it's so special, you know, because the Lord told me this at that same morning. He says, if you are pushing for attendance, then do programs and do productions. But if you want to further the kingdom, preach Jesus. We're kingdom. Listen, whoever shows up on Sundays is going to get a good word and they're going to get loved on. And they're going to be in an atmosphere of worship. And they're going to be cared for and love that. You know, but I want to encourage you, you are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're going to follow Jesus around a little bit and we're going to glean from him and learn and observe. How did he do it? What did he say? What did he do? How did he respond to people? Right? What did he teach? We're going to just spend some time doing that. And I thought that we would do it in Matthew, because if you're following our reading plan, we were in Matthew, the book of Matthew, from May 24th to June 20th. All right? And right now we're in Hebrews, you know, so we've been through 1st and 2nd Timothy, Philemon, Titus. We've been through a lot of books. But the last gospel we were in was in Matthew. And so I thought we would use that as the place that we're going to follow them around. So Matthew chapter 4, we just read the few verses, but let's look at verses 23 and 24. By the way, let me say this about these two verses we're about to read right now, that this passage is the first New Testament record where Jesus was healing people that were sick and delivering those who had demonic strongholds. All right, this is the first record in the New Testament of Jesus doing this. All right, Jesus chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So notice the order, all right? Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing in that order. He didn't just go around healing people, touching them on the head and healing them. No, he went about teaching first, preaching, and the healing came. Why was the teaching and preaching first? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, right? So Jesus went about teaching. Teaching is explaining principles and preach, kind of like what I'm doing right now. I'm explaining to you what teaching means. Teaching is explaining principles and precepts, and then preaching is proclaiming. It's declaring the truth. All right, and then healing is the manifestation. It's the outcome. It's the fruit of preaching and teaching. Yes. So if we're following Jesus' example, he went about teaching, preaching, and healing among the people. Everyone say among the people. Listen, if you're going to be ministers, you got to be among people. Amen. We have to be among people. We have to put ourselves in a position where you can utilize and use your gift. Come on, are you hearing this? Listen, not just here. I mean, we want you here on Sunday. We want you committed. When people ask you who your pastor is, we want you to be able to say who your pastor is and what church you belong to. But listen, I'm telling you, there are areas in the community where you can use your gifts and be among people. That's why we're building unity among churches in our city. Man, you can be among all kinds of youth and kids at the VBS coming up in a couple weeks. How many kids do we have signed up, do you think? Maybe 60 kids, but man, over 50 volunteers, 8 churches. They're going to get together every night and reach a citywide VBS through Pastor Courtney and the team from the city. So listen, there's areas where you can begin to move and use your gift. You got to be among people. And listen, there's opportunity here for you to use your gift as well. So Jesus' ministry, again, he went around healing preaching, teaching, and healing. Look at verse 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. So this verse shows really a large extent of Jesus' ministry. Again, Jesus' ministry was teaching, preaching, making disciples, healing the sick, and casting out demons. Amen? So listen, in Matthew chapters 8, 9, and 10, Matthew records 10 miracles that Jesus performed. And in these miracles, we see not only is God able to heal and deliver, but he's willing. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Again, we're just following Jesus around. We're following around to see how he ministers. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3 says, when he, Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you are willing, you can. If you're willing, you can. So the leper didn't doubt Jesus' ability to make him clean. He doubted Jesus' willingness. And I think that's a lot like us much of the time. You know, I don't think anybody here questions or doubts or questions Jesus' ability to heal. In other words, the question is not whether or not he can do it. The question is whether or not he will do it. Come on, how many of you agree with this? So this raises a question. This raises the question. Is it God's will to heal you? Jesus' response to this makes it very clear. The leper said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And without hesitation, Jesus says, I'm willing. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Amen? So listen, let's settle it in our hearts right now as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, following Jesus' example. Listen, let's settle it in our hearts right now that it is the Lord's will to forgive the sinner and heal the sick. Yes. Let's settle that in our hearts, all right? Because listen, Jesus made provision for salvation and healing at the cross. He did. We're not going to turn here right now, but Isaiah tells us that he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Right? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And so here in this text that we're reading in Matthew chapter 8, man, when Jesus is dealing with this leper, he declares and makes it very, very clear, I am willing, be cleansed. I am willing. So why is it so important that we need to settle it in our hearts today at LWC. Why is it so important that we settle it in our hearts that it's God's will to heal? I'm going to answer that. Because if we don't settle that it's God's will to heal in our hearts, then we always lead our prayers off with a question. Yeah, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. Because we're in training. We're in ministry training. Do you understand that's what we're doing? It's like you're in ministry school every Sunday when you come. And we're equipping you to get results when you go out. That's what we want. We want the kingdom of God to be furthered. Amen. So listen, if we don't settle it in our hearts right now that it is God's will to heal the sick, then we start our prayers off with a question. And I want to tell you, many well-meaning Christians, believers, myself included, I've done it more times than I'd like to admit. That when we're praying for people for healing, many times we start off our prayers with this. Lord, if it be your will. Lord, if it be your will. The problem that I have with that and the problem that the Lord is addressing today is that if you start your prayer off with an if, it raises a question. It raises a question. Are you hearing this? It's like, You start off your prayer, Lord, if it be your will, yeah, you know, maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't really know. I guess we'll just see. Listen, and so the Lord asked me this question. How can anyone experience a positive response of faith if there's a question mark on God's willingness? And so this is what the Lord is saying to us this morning. Don't question my willingness. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, don't question his willingness. Come on, this is good, you guys. It's good for us because beginning your prayer with an if it's the Lord's will, beginning your prayer with that is an expression of fear that God won't do it. And it opens up this gap that is he going to do it or not? And the Lord says, how can anybody make a positive expression of faith if there's a question mark on my willingness? Don't question my willingness anymore. What's the Lord want to do? He wants to close the gap between faith and action. He wants to shut that down. He's saying, don't question my willingness anymore. So listen, let's agree right now that we will no longer question the willingness of God. Can we agree, church? He's willing. So listen, when you're praying for someone's healing and you yourself are questioning whether or not God is going to do it, just remove the question from your prayer. In other words, don't begin your prayer with an if. In fact, I'll make it really, really simple. Let's not ever start a prayer with if. You know the best way to start a prayer? Thank you. Not if it be God's will, you're going to get healed. No, thank you, Lord, that you are both willing and able to bring healing right now. You said lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. So we just remove the question from our prayer, closing the gap of faith so that faith will work. Amen? Come on, are you catching this? Now listen, I want to tell you something. Our faith may be weak, immature, and incomplete most of the time. Is that right? I mean, we have to grow in faith. There's certain things that, man, our faith is weak. Our faith is being challenged. Our faith is incomplete. But listen, we should never, ever allow our lack of faith to hijack God's willingness to heal. He's the same. He says, I'm willing and I'm able. And so in this ministry school this morning, the Lord's saying, don't question my willingness. Don't question my willingness. Don't start your prayers with an if. Start your prayers with a thank you and build that foundation of faith right off the bat by a declaration. Thank you, Lord, that you are willing and able to heal. Nothing's impossible for you. Listen, you want to see results? Man, we got to lay that platform out. The Lord's teaching you how. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there, they need healing. Whether it be physical, mental, their marriages need healing, whatever it might be. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you are willing and able to bring healing to this marriage. Yes. Yeah. To bring deliverance to this person that has a demonic stronghold. Being tormented day and night. I thank you, Lord, that you are both willing and able. Come on, it changes the atmosphere in faith. Amen? Amen? And so the Lord's teaching us. Listen, he's teaching you how to be a minister. He's teaching me. That's why we're following him. And this is the first thing that the Lord's in my heart. I'm saying, man, we just got to switch our language around. We don't need the word if in our prayer request. Come on, you catching it? Everything you pray for. Thank you, Lord, that you will meet all my need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that man, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah? Thank you, Lord. You are both willing and able to take care of any situation. Amen? Say this to me. Say, God is willing and he is able to forgive the sinner and heal the sick. All right, look at this now. Come on down. Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 5. We're just going right through this right now. We're just following Jesus around. Matthew 8, verse 5 says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. Listen, no hesitation. Listen, right now we have somebody that is they're writing this. So Matthew is writing this, so he has to put in there, Jesus said. Yeah. Well, let's take that out. Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. I'll come and heal him. Jesus is willing to heal the sick. There was no question. There was no hesitation. My servant is sick. He's tormented. He's paralyzed. I'll come and heal him. Jesus is willing to heal. Listen, he is willing to heal. And so the Lord's saying, don't question my willingness anymore. Don't question my willingness. Goes on in Matthew 8, beginning in verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Man, this guy understood authority. He understood authority, and he goes on to say why. I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even Israel. There's only two places where Jesus marveled. It's here, when he marveled at this man's faith, and the other part was in the place where he marveled at their unbelief. And so it goes on in Matthew 8, verse 13. It says, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. As you have believed, let it be done for you. As you have believed. That's what I'm saying. We can't start our prayers off with an if. We got to start our prayers off with a thank you, because Jesus also said this. If you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe that everything you say will be done, it will be done for you. So when we start off our prayers with an if, we're already putting the, well, maybe he will, maybe he won't. We just need to do what Jesus says and leave the results to him. Amen? Thank you, Lord. You are willing and able to heal the sick and raise the dead. He's willing and able. Look at Matthew chapter 8, just moving right on down, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Verse 14, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So let me just tell you this. Jesus sees your loved ones who are sick right now. He sees them. He sees all things. You have loved ones that are sick. You have loved ones that are dealing with sickness or disease. You have that going on. You need to know the Lord sees them. When Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served. I was meditating on this morning because, listen, it doesn't say that he touched her hand and prayed. He just touched her hand. Listen, in Mark chapter 16, the Great Commission, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Those who believe will be saved. Those who will be disbelieve will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. Then he goes on to say, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He doesn't say, pray and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Not that you can't do that. He just said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, here, Jesus saw that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. He touched her hand and the fever left her. So listen, I'm telling you, that's why, man, you can just be walking around. You can shake somebody's hand and healing can flow through you if you're aware of the anointing you carry. You're just constantly aware of it. You're constantly aware. You walk by someone in a wheelchair or in one of them little scooters at Meijer. You just walk by, maybe they're moving a little slow and you want to pass them. Just pass them with a little pat on the back and know that God can do something. Because you're connecting something with what you know is going on in the spirit. And you're knowing what God is willing and able to do. Yeah? Yeah, it's just walking as ministers, just having that thing in us all the time. That, man, God is able and he is willing. Amen? And by the way, this is cool too. It says he touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose and served him. You know, I want to tell you that you can always tell when someone's been touched by the Lord. Because they have to go tell somebody. They got to go serve. Yeah. When someone's really been touched by the Lord, man, they just like saying, who can I serve? Who can I go? Listen, you have been made adequate servants, ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you're being touched by things of the Lord, there's something inside of you that says, man, I can't keep this to myself. You know, the problem that's happening right now in many people's lives, many Christians, is that that calling and that anointing, it's been quenched. They're no longer living by faith in what Jesus can do. And God's saying, I got to stir this stuff up at LWC. I got to stir it up. We've got to empower you and equip you. Because listen, your area of influence is going to be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to change somebody's life, or the Lord will through you. Yes. That's what we need. Amen. You know, I was blessed when my wife and I took that 2 Sundays off on our 30th wedding anniversary. That just about that time, my phone wasn't ringing because people were in a place of faith. Things settled down for a little while, you know? And so that's why if we continue in him, the Lord says, just keep following me around. You remain in me and I'll remain in you, right? Just stay close to me. Just stay close to me. And so we see people, we walk them through deliverance and all kinds of things, and they get set free. And then, man, as soon as they stop following Jesus closely, they get their foot caught in a snare, and my phone starts ringing again. And I don't care. I really don't care if my phone rings. Anybody that knows me knows I don't give up on you. You'll leave me before I leave you. I stick with it. And man, sometimes we see seasons of victory. We see people walking in freedom. And then you get that call. It's like, oh, stepped in another snare. And what do I want to do? I want to go get that snare unhooked. I want to get their foot out of that, whatever trapped them. And love on them again. Say, listen, let's get you back where you're supposed to be. Because whether you stepped in the snare or not, you're still called of God. Yes. Yeah? I just don't want to be walking around with my foot caught in a bear trap. Because I want to be able to move where God, you know what I'm saying? So some of you, and listen, I'm not talking about a snare on your foot. I'm talking about a snare on your life. Secret strongholds. Areas in your life that you are bound with something. It's got a stronghold on you. Maybe it's, and listen, I'm not talking about drugs or alcohol only. It could be unforgiveness. It could be bitterness. It can be resentment. It's something inside of you that's got a stronghold on you, and it's holding you back. And the Lord says, there's an anointing to tear down that stronghold. Yes. Yeah, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling those strongholds down and casting down those arguments. Amen. So we bring the Word of God so that you have the right weaponry to be able to walk in freedom. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to see more results. I want to see results when we pray for people. I want to see results when we're praying for what we prayed for today during worship. Come on, man. I'm telling you, Jesus is willing and able to heal. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 8, come to verse 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. Oh, I like that. He cast out the spirits with the word. Darkness is defeated when the word of God is taught. But he said, with a word, leave. Now, what we do, we add Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, leave. In the name of Jesus, let him go. Right? With the word. We don't need to get in a dialogue with the demons. We have authority over those. We don't have to get in a discussion with them. We don't have to get in an argument with them. We cast that argument down. We're tearing down the stronghold over your life and saying, in the name of Jesus, let them go. Yes. Quickly. Yeah? Yes. Had many people in my office, been in many situations where we're dealing with demonic strongholds. Someone's got a demonic stronghold. You know, and there's been times in my early years, man, the demon starts thrashing him around a little bit. I don't like it. I don't like it. But it's real. And as you get a little bit older, you just say, no, you leave quickly and you leave now. You can't touch him. You can't thrash him. Just go. And we're seeing these things happen more quickly because we're learning that, man, in the name of Jesus, we have authority over that stuff. Yeah? We lead people to Jesus. So listen, I'm going to tell you something. Christians and un-Christians, we need therapy. It's okay to go get help from a professional that can help you to untangle and make sense of why you might be dealing with stuff. So it's not a lack of faith to see a therapist, but they also need discipleship. Amen? Amen? So we make disciples, but I'm telling you, man, there are some things that need to happen, and I'm telling you, we are partnering with solid, God-fearing professionals. Yes. That's going to change things for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? But we make disciples. That's what my job is. I'm doing my best to raise you up and to send you out and give you the confidence, knowing that, man, nothing's gonna harm you. You've given authority over all the power of the devil. Yes. But sometimes, like I said, man, our faith gets weak. Our faith gets in this vulnerable place, and we start questioning, yeah, I don't know. I know you can, but will. And the Lord says, just remove that. Don't question my willingness anymore. If you leave with nothing else, leave with that. I'm not going to question God's willingness anymore. He's willing. Amen? Amen? Says that they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So Matthew is quoting from Isaiah 53. I have a note in my notes. Consider ending here. Check the time. Because I want to honor your time. Are there boat races in Michigan City today? Huh? Oh, jet skiing. Okay. I can probably wrap this up in the time that we usually let you out. It's like I'm looking to see, do they have a fork and a knife in their hand? Like, feed me! All right. Let me touch it. He said he cast out the spirits with a word. He healed all who are sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So let's bring Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 up, because I do want you to see this. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So listen, sin, sickness, and death, we're all defeated at the cross. All right, say this. Say, God is willing and he is able to forgive the sinner and heal the sick. So listen, if sin, sickness, and death were all defeated at the cross, why do people still get sick and die? Listen, when Jesus returns and he establishes his kingdom once and for all, every sin and all the results of sin will be completely eradicated. All will be healed. Listen, there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more disease, there'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more death. But listen, until then, until Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom on this earth, people still sin. People still get sick, and people still die. All right, listen, let me tell you why I'm sharing this. Because there are some who teach that if you're a true Christian, you should never get sick. Well, the problem I have with that, if true Christians can never get sick, then they can never sin, and they can never die. Yeah? And so while we tackle the question that we're not going to question God's willingness anymore, we still have to deal with the reality that people still get sick and die. Yes. So what do we do about that? Listen, all sickness, all disease, all death and all sin was defeated on the cross. So listen, all who declare Jesus Christ as Lord, actually, why don't you say that? I declare Jesus Christ as Lord.
I declare Jesus Christ as Lord.
Every single one of you will be completely healed.
Amen.
Some today, some tomorrow, some in heaven.
Yes.
You're all going to get healed.
Yes.
We're all going to get healed.
Yes.
When we get to heaven, we're all going to get healed. But man, sometimes you're praying for things and man, we don't see the healing. And what does that do when we don't see the healing? It causes us to like backpedal and then we want to start our prayer with an if. If you're willing. And so the Lord is sharing this with us. Listen, Jesus bore our sicknesses and our infirmities, all of these problems, all of the hurts, all of the pains, all of the diseases, everything that you're dealing with. Listen, you will be healed. That's a promise. What we need to do is take the timeline off it. Take the expectation of time away from it. And just know, it can happen now, it can happen a year from now. But I'm going to keep thanking the Lord that you are both willing and able to heal.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So here's the question, because I want to tackle this. I'll have just enough time. If you're praying for somebody and the healing doesn't come right away, how many of you prayed for somebody and the healing didn't happen?
Amen.
Yeah, well, listen, if you're praying for someone, if the healing doesn't come right away, listen, what do you do? Listen, I want to answer this question by telling you what not to do. Because this is a big mistake that many Christians make. Everyone say there's no condemnation.
There's no condemnation.
Yeah, so listen, if you're praying for somebody and they don't get healed, do not allow the devil to condemn you because they didn't get healed. And if you're the one being prayed for, don't let the devil condemn you. This is why you're not getting healed. Remove the question. Remove the question. Sometimes people are struggling, man. They were praying for their healing and they don't get healed. And the devil comes in and starts telling them, well, this is why you're not being healed. This is why it's not happening. Because if you would have taken care of yourself, if you would have done this, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Amen.
Come on, are you hearing this?
Amen.
We got to keep faith up here and keep the devil down here.
Yes.
So we don't condemn one another. Because a lot of times, you know, you'll hear it. You'll hear it. You'll hear it. Why aren't they getting healed? Because they don't have enough faith. Wait a minute. That puts all the pressure on the person. No. Who heals? Jesus is the healer. Come on, are you here in this church? Because there's a lot of people that get wounded, and then we pray over them. They go home. They're not getting well. And then all of a sudden, man, they're struggling all night wondering why. And that's a problem because it brings shame, it brings guilt, it brings questions. All of these things begin to happen. And listen, so the Lord's teaching us how to minister to these things. So what do? We create the right environment. Wherever you're at, whether it's in a setting like this or you're, you know, praying for someone in the hospital or you meet someone on the street, listen, always create an environment for the miraculous. And this is how you do it. Thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are both willing and able. You are faithful to do what you said you're going to do. Always create an environment of praise and thanksgiving, and that environment will bring the healing. It will. We'll see better results, church. So we're taking the question out of our requests. We're not starting our prayers with an if. We're starting with a thank you, and we just keep going right on that way. Amen? Come on, are you hearing me? Whether you see a miracle or not, he's still faithful. You don't need to make excuses for God if the healing doesn't come immediately. Don't even allow yourself to go down that road. That's why I tell you, when I pray for someone and I open my eyes and I don't see a miracle, I just go right into, thank you, Lord, they're in recovery mode. You're moving. You're still faithful. Because maybe the Lord needs to heal some things of their mind. Maybe there's some things that God needs to deal with mentally, or maybe there's a sin issue. I don't know. But God is faithful. Amen? Jesus Christ can and He will. He can and He will. Can I end with this? Jesus Christ can and will set people completely free. He can and will heal people of sickness and disease. He can and will deliver people from deep-rooted demonic strongholds. Jesus Christ can and will untangle the confusion of any identity issue. He can and will make the crooked path straight. He can and will make rivers in the desert. He can and will raise up valleys that are too deep to climb out of. He can and will flatten the mountains that are too high to climb over. He can and will calm the storm in a raging mind. I need that. He can and will heal the brokenhearted and lift up those who are crushed in spirit. I need that. He can and will fill the void where loneliness has taken up residence. He can and will remove the darkness of depression and replace it with the light of joy and hope. He can and will remove anxiety, stress, and worry and replace it with a peace that surpasses all understanding. He can and will heal and restore your marriage. He can and will bring back your wayward sons and daughters. He can and will meet all your need. Financial, mental, emotional, and spiritual need according to His riches and glory. He can and will hear your prayers. He can and will come to your rescue when you call out to Him. He can and will deliver you from all your troubles. He is can and He will. He can and He will. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He can and He will. Stand to your feet. Come on, get on your feet. Listen, there is nothing impossible for Him. There's no sin He can't forgive. There's no problem He can't solve. There's no disease He can't heal. There's no debt He can't pay. There's no broken relationship He can't restore. There's no demon He can't cast out. There's no fear He can't calm. There's no life He can't reach. There's no chains He can't break. He is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Nothing's impossible for Him. He can and He will. Give Him some praise, church. Yeah. Come on. You are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you can expect God to work miracles. You can expect Him. You can roll up on any situation and expect God to turn someone's situation around. Amen. So listen, in the name of Jesus, go get Him. Go get Him. I love you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.